Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Jackie and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. And I'm going to get myself off this full screen. That's frightening. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps of, as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting, except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from our AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, and then we will split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And I have asked Judy to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you, Judy. And if
Okay. Thank you, Jackie. My name is Judy. I'm an alcoholic. And these are the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Judy. Appreciate that. Thank you. Today, we're going to hear a talk on step 11, and I'm going to read step 11 again. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Please give a warm welcome to John L. from Belfast, Ireland. Thank you so much, John, for being here. Thank you.
Hey, where is John? I lost him a second ago. John.
There he is. John, I see him. John, can you unmute and we'll get you started. Are
He
you
should
able to unmute, John?
be able to.
He can't, he said.
Oh, okay.
Well, uh-uh.
Oh, yes, I
There
don't
you are.
know. There we go.
There you go. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, everyone. My name is John L, and I'm an alcoholic, and I'm a proud member of the Morning Star Group in Belfast, in Ireland. And it's a privilege to be asked to share my experience, strength, and hope, especially on step 11. And the first thing I have to point out to everyone is that the only sure thing that I know, and I'm an expert in step 11, is that it comes after step 10 and it is before step 12. And anything other than that is my experience. So if you're waiting on an expert description of step 11, you may go somewhere else, because I can only share my experience of how I understand it, and more importantly, how I practice it in my daily living. And you can't practice step 11 unless you're convinced of step 10. And you can't be convinced of step 10 unless you're convinced of step 9. And you can't be convinced of that unless you're convinced of step 8. So step 11, as well as the other steps, I believe and have come to see, is grounded in step 1, powerlessness. You know, my problem, I'm powerless over alcohol, and my life's unmanageable. And I'm powerless over a whole lot of other things in my life. So if lack of power is my dilemma, then I have to seek out the solution. And the solution, obviously, is a power greater than myself. And I had to be convinced of those things, because I come in the Alcoholics Anonymous with a very, very closed mind, and especially concerning God and my concept of God. I suppose I would have been something like Bill W. and his concept of God. Whenever the word was mentioned, I got my hackles up, because I had a bad impression or an understanding of God, and he wasn't a good guy. And he certainly didn't like me. And so I never ever depended on him. I was one of them fully self-sufficient guys that I try to sort things out myself. And when I found alcohol was the vehicle that allowed me to try to sort things out. You know, I grew up in a home, obviously, in Belfast, in Ireland, but I can see quite clearly, with the gift of hindsight that Alcoholics Anonymous has given me, that I grasped and developed a manner of living that was full of fear, it was full of insecurity, it was full of low self-esteem, low self-worth, jealousy and anger and resentment. I hate the word. I was a rebel without a cause. I was convinced that life was deliberately giving me bad turns. And when I experienced that bad turn in my life, that convinced me even more. So I was convinced that I wasn't loved, that I was useless, that I was worthless, and that I shouldn't really be here. And alcohol helped me to deal with all them emotions and them feelings for a certain period of time. And then the clock turned the other way. And I ended up in a three-bedroom house where I am now, with a wife and four kids. And alcoholism put me in the living room part of that house, which is 10 foot by 12 foot, because I was able to get them measurements when I got sober, and bought carpet for the floor, because before then there was no carpet on the floor. But so it was a 10 foot by 8 foot room, and alcoholism gave me a 2 foot by 4 foot part of that room in the corner, and it gave me a television, a chair, and a carry out. And at the last years of my drinking, That's the way that I was living. My wife and my children were afraid to come into the living room because they didn't know what was going to happen, whether they were going to get verbally abused or sometimes physically abused. You know, so that's the way that I ended up, hopeless, worthless, and helpless. And I heard of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I thought I would go to see what this thing's like. And I thought there was going to be a man with a beard, a double coat, and a bottle of wine. And if I told him a sad story of my life, he would say, "Here, son, you need that bottle of wine more than I do." So I've never met a person like that in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous since I've come in. But they did say certain things that gave me a bit of hope. Like, don't take the first drink and keep coming back. And I gradually did that. I thought it was just Alcoholics Anonymous, just a wee non-drinking organization. And then I heard about the steps or the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I heard about this God getting mentioned from time to time. And I became very confused. I was actually going to leave it and not come back. But God, as I understand him now, then had me in his hand, because he put certain people in my way, or he began to put them in my way. And I ended up getting a sponsor. And the sponsor met me, and he told me that he was going to interview me. And I thought he was giving me a job in Alcoholics Anonymous. And he gave me the job. The job was clearing the ice trays and putting the chairs out and making the tea and coffee. But he told me about this program of recovery that Alcoholics Anonymous had an offer for people like me. And it was in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. And there was three vital pieces of information in that book. The first one was what the problem was. The second one was what the solution to that problem was. And the third and most important one was the plan of action that I would need to take to bring about that solution. So I came to see, through the first 60 pages of the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, that I was powerless over alcohol and that my life was unmanageable, which is what my problem is. And more importantly, I came to believe that a power greater than me could restore me to sanity. And that's when my journey to a God of my understanding began. And I'm not one of them people that you tell something to and I just go along with it. I have to dissect it. If you were to ask me what time it is, I would tell you how to build a watch. That's how screwed up I can be. So it had to be simple, because it says the program is simple but not easy. So my sponsor explained simple things to me that made sense, because I'm one of them guys again. If I don't see sense in anything, I will not do it. But I am a professional pathological liar. I will tell you that I'm doing it. And I'm not good. I'll convince you that I'm doing it. And I'll convince myself that I'm doing it. So I had to have them requirements. And I came to see, through the first 60 pages, when it comes to the ABCs, you know, A, that I was alcoholic, could not manage my own life. B, that probably no human power could relieve me of my alcoholism. And the most important one, C, that God could and would if he were sought. My first obstacle into trying to do that was in believing in the first place, because they said I had a bad reputation or understanding of God. One of them was I was afraid of him because I was going to hell. So I found it very hard to accept the concept of this loving God or this loving Father. So the second step, I took the second step with, I became willing to be willing to be willing to be willing to believe that a power greater than me could restore me to sanity. And that's what we agreed, me and my sponsor. I made that commitment. And the words out of his mouth was, "Thank God, now we can start." So the start became the third step, when I knelt down with him and said our third step prayer. And he explained to me that nowhere in that third step prayer is it talking about alcohol, because that wasn't my real problem. And he told me my real problem is contained in that third step prayer, and it's called the bondage of self. So I knelt down with my sponsor, and I made a commitment to a God of my understanding who I didn't really understand. that he would relieve me of the bondage of self. You see, and if lack of power is your dilemma, and a power greater than you is the solution, and you make a decision to use that solution, then it makes total sense, or it made total sense to me, that I then looked to see what is it within me that's blocking me off from this power that I need. And that became the fourth step of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I took that moral inventory, not an immoral, a moral inventory, and I came to see the things that was blocking me off, this spiritual sickness that I suffer from, or this internal spiritual malady, fear and resentment and ego and pride and low self-esteem and jealousy and the seven deadly sins. And when I sat down with my sponsor in the fifth step, he gave me an A4 piece of paper. And down the left-hand side of that A4 piece of paper, he had wrote John's will. And underneath John's will, he had wrote steps 1 to 5. And underneath that, he had put fear, insecurity, low self-esteem, jealousy, pride, all the defects of character that we talk about in Alcoholics Anonymous. And down the right-hand side of the paper, he put God's will. And underneath God's will, he put steps 8 to 12. And underneath that, he put love, peace, joy, and all what I now call the benefits of recovery or the rewards of recovery. And he drew a wee arrow from the left-hand side of the paper to the right-hand side of the paper. And he said to me, John, for the last 42 years, you have been living on the left-hand side of the paper. And it's brought nothing but pain and agony and despair, not just to you, but to the people around you. And he asked me, would I like to live on the right-hand side of the paper and get them benefits, them gifts of sobriety? And I said, yes. And he says, well, you can't. And I said to him, why did you tell me I can? Now you're telling me I can't. But what I didn't see was at the top of that page, above the wee arrows going from the left to the right, it put three words. And the three words were G-O-D, God. And underneath God, it put step 6 and step 7. And I came to see, pardon me, I came to see that there was no way that I was going to live on the right-hand side of the paper without the help of God and the grace of God. So when I knelt down in the seventh step to say the seventh step prayer, I knew exactly what I was doing that for. I was trying to do what the simple interpretation that I got in the third step, where God is the Father and I am His child. So I was trying to do His will. And my sponsor told me quite clearly that in order to do God's will or to get close to God, I couldn't get close to God unless I got close to His children. And that opened the way to step 8 and 9. Making my list and making amends. Because if I was going to do God's will and be used to other people, then I had to clear the wreckage of the past so that He could use me or use them people. And that's what I did. And I came to step 10 then. And I entered the world of the Spirit. And I understood what that meant. From that moment in time, I was changing from John's will to God's will. And thank God it says that we're not saints. And thank God it says things like, do not be discouraged. Because there are get-in clauses that Alcoholics Anonymous has given me as an alcoholic, because I have this illness and this disease that will tell me lies. It will tell me that I'm not worthy and that I'm a hypocrite and I'm this and that and I'm that. So Alcoholics Anonymous paves the way for me to continue on my journey. And step 11 makes common sense that once I've entered the world of the Spirit and I'm trying to do God's will, right, then it makes sense that I get close to God, because the more closer I get to God, the more trust I have in Him. And the more trust I have in Him, the more closer I get to Him. And that's the way it's been for me since I've come in the Alcoholics Anonymous. And in the book, you know, from page 85 to 88, it explains to me in simple terms what I do on a daily basis. Now, when I first read them pages, and for a good while in Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought they were instructions of how to live a day at a time as an alcoholic. But I came to see that they're guides of how I meditate and how I pray. Because it tells me when I retire at night, I look to see where I was resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid. And I've came to see that it's suggesting to me that I meditate on them. And I ask myself, have I been resentful or fearful or dishonest today? It then suggests that if I've harmed anyone, do I owe an apology? So I meditate on it. There's eight little things that I discovered in that page that it tells me how to meditate and what to meditate on. You know, if I meditate, was I kind and loving towards all? Could I have done better? Was I thinking of myself most of the time, or was I thinking of other people? So at the end of the night, I sit down and I meditate on them things. And I have that little A4 piece of paper still that my sponsor gave me on the wall, because that's my guide for sober living. You know, and I just have to look at the right-hand side and ask myself the questions. Am I being loving? Am I being tolerant? Am I being kind? And my mind or on a page, I tick down what I've done. It says about, you know, I've more good parts than what I have bad parts. And that's okay, because in step seven, in the seventh step prayer, that's what I offered myself to. I offered to God my good and my bad. So I have to accept that I'm not going to be a saint, I'm not getting this perfect. But I look at it on a daily basis. And it's the same in the morning. I have a set of a prayer based on the first three steps. That when I wake up in the morning, I automatically kneel down and say them. And it's all about relieving me from the bondage of self. I came to see that that's what this is all about. This is about relieving enough of the selfishness and the self-centeredness within me that will allow then God to give me the grace and the power to be of use to other people. And in Alcoholics Anonymous, it tells me quite simply in our preamble why I am an Alcoholics Anonymous. And it says, my primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. And I do that in the many ways that Alcoholics Anonymous allows me to do, like what I'm doing now, sharing my experience, strength, and hope, or sponsoring another alcoholic, or becoming a secretary in the group, joining the group, becoming a secretary in it, representing the group at intergroup, and further up the structure of Alcoholics Anonymous. So my primary purpose is to help other alcoholics, because God has took enough of the self-will that I am and still am. There's been enough of the self-will removed that allows me then to think of other people. And then, of course, it's not just Alcoholics Anonymous. God's will for me isn't just an Alcoholics Anonymous. God's will for me is to practice them principles, but outside of Alcoholics Anonymous. And one of the reasons we have is that we work the program from the fireplace out. In other words, I start in my home. And over the last two and a half years, my life, but more importantly, my wife's life, has been turned upside down, because we both contracted COVID in October 2020. And my wife ended up on a ventilator for 8 weeks. I overcame the COVID, but took a stroke 4 weeks later. So on Christmas Day in 2020, my wife was lying in a hospital bed at one end of that living room that I used to sit in drinking, and I was in a bed at the other side of the living room. And our kids called it Ward 19, because that's the number of our house. And I recovered, but my wife unfortunately didn't. She now suffers from long COVID, and she's never ever going to be able to walk again. So her life is spent getting from the bed with the help of two people to a commode or to a chair, and then at night time put back in the bed again. Now, if I hadn't have come into Alcoholics Anonymous, and if I hadn't have practiced the principles that this program suggests that I do, and if I hadn't have prayed and meditated and asked God on a daily basis, "Thy will, not mine, be done," I would be of no use to my wife. And the beautiful thing about it is that Zoom has been a lifesaver for me and my wife, because my wife is an alcoholic and a member of this fellowship. And Zoom has been a lifeline. But God, in his grace and his wisdom, has put people to lift my spirit, because I came to see in step 10 that my sobriety is contingent on my spiritual condition. And because of my wife, I very rarely go outside because I can't leave her on her own. We'll have cars that come in 5 times a day, and at night time, my own children will come in and help, and I'll go out and do a bit of shopping and whatnot. So I would depend on Zoom meetings to keep my spirits up. And the many, many people that I have found and that God has put in my way at the right time. I'll give you an example of what I'm trying to say. I was at a meeting one night, and a guy came into the meeting with a bandana, a big pair of sunglasses, and a beard down to his belly button. And my first thought was, who's this character? This is going to be a good laugh. And it ended up that gentleman was the speaker at the meeting, and he came from North Carolina, okay? And he shared his experience, strength, and hope. And he had a nickname called Jaffa, J-A-F-A. And he said that it stood for just another frigging alcoholic, right? And after his share, when the secretary asked him, could he close the meeting with the serenity prayer? He asked the secretary, would it be okay if he talked to me? Because he'd heard people at the meeting asking about Mary and her condition, And the secretary said, yes, go ahead, Jaffa. Now, I thought he was going to say, look, John, I'm really sorry about your wife. And I'll light a candle, even though I'm in America, and I'll say prayers for her, which would be the normal thing to do. But the gentleman didn't do that. What the gentleman did was, he was an American Indian, and he chanted a blessing, an American Indian blessing for my wife, that she would get better. And that blew me away. So inside an hour, I had went from he's in Egypt to, wow, what a blessing that God has given on me and my wife. And it's proved to me a very vital thing, you see. It proved to me that of myself, by myself, and through myself, I cannot do any good or be any use to anybody. So I need to depend on God. That powerlessness that I shared about the first step, the whole program for me is based on powerlessness. And when I'm convinced that lack of power is my dilemma in any area of my life, or when I think I can run it and put God to the side and say, it's okay, God, I'll sort this one out. Whenever I do that, things don't go the way they're supposed to go and the way they're meant to be. And I am reminded, and I'm gently pushed back into the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the spiritual aspect of this, one being this dependence on a power greater than me. And I revert back to my prayer and my meditation. And I ask God to forgive me for any derelictions that I may have done. And I try my best. I'm waking up in the morning and I ask God to help me during the day to be of service to him. Thy will, not mine, be done. It's the hardest prayer that I have to say, thy will, not mine, be done. But what I've discovered is it brings me back from the precipice from time to time and grounds me back into what I'm here for, what my primary purpose is, to be of use to my fellow human beings, regardless of whether they're inside Alcoholics Anonymous or outside Alcoholics Anonymous. And I fluctuate in them areas. Sometimes I'm really good at it, and sometimes I'm not bad, but I could do better. And my sponsor said that to me, John, remember, recovery is like a report at school. You're doing well at the moment, but there's still lots of room for improvement. So I'm not the finished picture or story yet. There's still an awful lot that God wants me to be and wants to use me for, especially inside Alcoholics Anonymous. It's been a lifesaver for me, and it's been a lifesaver for my wife, because from time to time, she is able to come into our local meeting that we have on Zoom, or go down to our physical meeting that we have, because we have two physical meetings and two online meetings. So every so often, she can go to either one. So she's not left out, and she's not on her own. And that's another thing that I've discovered in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm no longer on my own. And that is a hell of a change from the feelings that I used to have, that I was on my own, that I was the only one on this earth that felt this way and did these things, and that I wasn't worth anything. But God, in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, has raised me up. As Bill W. said, and I'll finish with this, I know 4 minutes left, but Bill W. said on one of his tapes that I listened to, he described alcoholics as cave dwellers. And he said that Abby was the first person that was able to get into his cave at the end of Bill's drinking, when everything was black, like myself, where alcohol had become my master. And I couldn't see any light at the end of any tunnels. And Bill said that Abby was the first person who was able to come into his cave, hold his hand, and bring him out into the sunlight of the Spirit. And I've been given that privilege as well in Alcoholics Anonymous. We've all been given it, because we all used to be cave dwellers, so we know how to get into that cave. That dark feeling, what it describes in A Vision for You, and be able to bring the suffering alcoholic hand in hand out into the sunlight of the Spirit and allow them to be given life again. And the only reason why I can say that is because I've experienced that. I'll be forever grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'll be ever grateful to God, as I understand God, for giving me a second life. Because we alcoholics have two lives, of the old life and of the new life. You know. So I think that's all I'll say, Jackie. And thank you very much for inviting me and listening to me.
Wow. Thank you so much for that share, John. That was really powerful. So appreciate that. Thank you. God bless. AA has no dues or fees for AA membership, but we do have expenses. The Seventh Tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's expenses, the Seventh Tradition is essential at every level of AA service. We are observing the Seventh Tradition digitally on Venmo. You should see a code on your screen. Please take a moment to make a contribution if you can. If you do not have a Venmo account, but you would like to send a contribution through the mail, please message the host and they will supply our address. All our contributions support AA's General Service Office. Thank you in advance for your generosity.